What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Welcome back to More To It, the show that takes a deep dive into the biggest stories in sports, entertainment, and culture. Start with headline news and then journey into deeper conversations, always finding those life lessons that are presented in every single story. I'm your host, Marcellus Wiley, that dude with that Hawaii spring break body underneath this shirt, I'm hoping. I actually ate amazing yesterday, y'all. But before I get into all of that, I just want to say thank you guys for listening. Thanks for the comments. Thanks for the support and all the love. Yes, welcome to Never Shut Up. That's what we're doing right now. And let's start off like we always start off with, what's up with that dude? I ain't even going to talk about my body yet because it ain't there yet. I ain't lying. I'm sucking it in. Let's talk about what happened yesterday at the crib. You know, I grew up hearing that happy wife meant happy life, right? And I think that has suckered a lot of husbands in this world because you think, okay, as long as I make my wife happy, she gonna return the favor like a boomerang, right? Well, it works that way. Yes, immediately it works that way. But about, I don't know, 5-6 minutes later, your wife is back to whoever your wife was before you try to make her happy, right? And it's funny because I'm the same damn way. But yesterday, we got the delivery of our outdoor patio furniture set, right? Oh my God. We had a blue set out there that I liked. I admit it got a little old and dusted and disgusted, but still, it was back there. It looked cool. My wife was like, oh, we need another one. And she just kept nagging. Every time I go outside, I'm playing ball with MJ. Oh, it will look much better. He'd probably catch every pass if he could rest on some new patio furniture. So everything, I'm barbecuing. Oh, yeah, this looks great. The food's amazing. But it probably look even nicer. Everything turned into a patio furniture set combo. Finally, I caved. And yesterday, it delivered. And I thought it was going to make her the happiest person in the world. And it did. Until it was time for the kids to go to bed, and then she was yelling at me again to do something. I was like, God, Lee, we're having a happy life, happy wife. And that went out the window. That was fun. Woke up this morning to one of the sweetest moments. My four-year-old looked at me and out of nowhere said, Daddy, I love you. I was like, oh. I mean, come on, everybody. Oh. And I said, why? She said, because when you sleep, your butt is out. I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? She said, you sleep with your butt out like this, Dad. That wasn't the answer I was expecting. And it kind of robbed me of the moment of, baby, I thought this was going to be a heartfelt moment. She just turned into another four-year-old nasty little prank thing. So took that moment, ran with it, even though it didn't mean anything to her. The last thing is my mother-in-law leaves today. Yes. And my daughter cried. One daughter cried. The other daughter said, bye-bye. See you soon. MJ was like, whatever. And, you know, it's going to be a sad day. I get it. And at the same time, it's going to be a different day. And I ain't going to say happy, but I'm just going to say this. My mother-in-law got into a good routine in these last 3 weeks. It included waking up exactly at the same time, coming upstairs at the exact same time, about 20 minutes before the kids go to school, so she ain't got to help them get ready. And then she timed that up perfectly. And then she would always come upstairs and talk about the weather. I mean, literally, the weather. For those 20 minutes, the weather. Y'all think I'm playing? The weather for 20 minutes. I'm like, golly. She's the sweetest lady in the world, but boy, I think she missed her calling. She should have been a weather woman. All right, y'all, let's get into it now. This story right here got on the radar. This is some gangsta shh right here. Something you won't see on ESPN. Let's talk about it. Aaron Hernandez's older brother, Dennis DJ Hernandez, was arrested after he allegedly threw a brick at ESPN's headquarters in Bristol with a note attached to it, according to police documents. All right, let's get through the beats of this. Incident happened around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, broad daylight. Come up on him on a walk by with a brick. This happened on the campus after cops were asked to perform a welfare check on DJ after he allegedly stated he wanted to smash out windows at ESPN and the state capitol. I don't know what they have in common, but man, gangster. So police say ESPN security told the Uber driver that they saw at one of the gates to turn away. Passenger didn't get out the car, allegedly that's DJ, and threw something on the grounds, then got back in the vehicle and left, right? Did a walk-by for real in an Uber. Cops in the document say when they investigated the object, they saw a white plastic bag with a brick in it, blah, blah, blah. To all media outlets, he wrote on the brick in a note, "It's about time you all realize," and he wrote, "realize" with R-E-A-L-E-Y-E-S, real eyes. Wow. "The effect media has on all family members, since you're a worldwide leader, maybe you could lead how media messages are delivered brick by brick. Clean it up!" Exclamation point. Oh, he ain't playing. Oh, the note was signed, "Yours truly, Dennis J. Hernandez." So let's leave all the allegedly out of this. And the "yours truly" part, yeah. What a backhand compliment. Way to be nice, DJ. Okay, right. Cops say they ultimately made contact with DJ and he admitted to going to ESPN, but didn't want to speak about the incident. All right, I get it. He got arrested for a misdemeanor, breach of peace, etc. Now, what is going on here? You got to remember that after Aaron Hernandez committed suicide in prison, that DJ wrote a book, and the book was called "The Truth About Aaron: My Journey to Understand My Brother." Wow. You know what's going on here? Simple. Dude is pissed off at the portrayal of his brother and what the effect has been on his family. And you can understand that. And you probably understand it and empathize with it if you think the portrayal was off. Obviously, DJ feels that way. From the outside, we don't feel that way, right? I do not feel connected to Aaron Hernandez in terms of what was true and what was false. All I know is what was reported, and it was hard to argue those as facts, correct? So the whole portrayal of him being a gangster, whether he was faking it or he was really about it, the whole Pac life, the Tupac life, you done made it and all of a sudden you get gangster, or you were actually brought up in it and you couldn't let it go. Whatever the situation was, we were sitting there like dumbfounded, right? Like, what are you doing if you're an NFL player? You're gangbanging? It's one thing to act hard, you know, try to do the John Morant. It's one thing to try to play it off like you got street cred everywhere, you know, and you're just acting like you got connections and everything is about the life. That's one level of the faking it. But when you really are going to go beyond faking it to the point where you really trying to live it, we all were scratching our head like, come on, Aaron Hernandez. DJ, you can't be mad at the world at large because they actually bought into the reality that that's what your brother was. They also portrayed him as gay, saying he had the lover in the prison cell and et cetera, and all of those things that were implied. And what are we supposed to infer from that? If they weren't being explicit about it, it was just the fact that they said your brother was gay and a gangster. Wow. I understand how that could have impact on you, but what is ESPN to do in that situation? You tell me. But ultimately, when he committed suicide, I think that that's where you probably draw the line, and you got to cover all this factually. But at the same time, opinions will be based off of those facts. sad state of affairs, man, because it seems like, as they say all the time, when someone goes to jail, they're not the only one that goes. And obviously, when someone dies, the family's impacted, and they're not the only one feeling that death. So I hope and pray, actually, for DJ, man, because this may be a warning sign of bad things to come. Well, it's time to go on fire on this topic. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson. And right now in my head, I know that's a dog pound track that we come in with all the time with that corrupt behind the walls. But there's another song that they made called What Would You Do? And if y'all remember that one went even harder. Boom, boom. What would you do if you... Anyway, what would Lamar Jackson do if he were a New England Patriot? Let's get into this one, because a reporter says, hey, man, I was sitting there at the NFL meetings, owners meetings, saw Bob Kraft there, decided, hey, why not take a shot, throw a Hail Mary at him and see if he's going to answer this kind of crazy question. He said, Lamar Jackson requested a trade today. A lot of fans back home in New England are clamoring for him. What do you think? Will the Patriots make a run? And you ever ask somebody a question like that, and you're like, dog, you almost start turning your body as soon as you ask. You're like, man, they ain't about to answer this. And he said, Bob Kraft bit. And he was like, what? The Hail Mary connected. Now, full discretion right here. I got to tell you guys, that man, Bob Kraft, Columbia alumni right there. Yeah, so I had to do that full disclosure. Let's talk about it. He says this. I don't know how to take this, but y'all work with me on this one. You know, Meek Mill is my friend. Now, I don't know who clout chasing more in this relationship. Meek Mill to Bob Kraft or Bob Kraft to Meek Mill? Because if somebody ever responds, well, you know, Marcell Swalley is my friend. Like, it's like, oh, dog, why don't you just say my friend said? And that lets you know Bob is kind of pumped. He got that young rapper kicking it with him. You know, Meek Mill is my friend. He said he texted me saying that Lamar Jackson wanted to come here. All right, we're getting somewhere. Personnel, player personnel director, Meek Mill. But that's Bill Belichick's decision. Oh, here we go. Y'all know I'm going to talk through this. Of course, Bill Belichick had to respond to this. And he says, quote, I'm not going to talk about players on any other team. And you know he said it hella dry and shorter than that. So, what is going on here? What do you do when your homeboy texts you and your homeboy is not even associated with the NFL? Why are you putting that out there as an owner to just deflect and then say, actually, that's not my responsibility. That's Bill Belichick. Do y'all see this hot potato going on right here? Like seriously. Like, one, Bob Kraft, I love you to death. You know that. But I think everything's your responsibility if you want it to be. But, of course, why step in something like this, the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes, if you don't have interest? So, what do? You delegate that, right? You deflect. You say, oh, got to ask Bill Belichick about that one. But Bill Belichick already got his marching orders, or you already know he ain't trying to march towards Lamar Jackson. So, this is an easy one to play. And then bring up, like, oh, you know what? I'm just sitting at the crib. You know what I'm saying? About to go to the club and threw on some Meek Mill. While I'm listening to Meek text me, talking about Lamar Jackson, hit him up, tomorrow he want to be a Patriot. How random is this and how raggedy does this sound in terms of Lamar Jackson's operations if they really trying to do that? And the fact that Bob Kraft really going to listen to Meek Mill, hilarious. But let's be real about this and talk about the options Lamar Jackson's has in this moment, because it's starting to look a little different than it did not only a month ago, but obviously when Lamar Jackson was at his full powers. Washington. Now, Washington, interesting. The Commanders, you look at their situation. I can see Lamar Jackson there because obviously he's more talented and better than the quarterbacks on their roster. What did Washington come out and say? Quote, I don't want to sound critical of anyone. You know what's about to happen then. They're going to hide their criticism, but they about to be critical. He's a very talented guy. He's one of the better quarterbacks in this league. Uh-oh, that's a shot right there. One of the better? Because better means like you mid-pack, like you better than the mid-pack. Like, right? So what are you, 10 to 16? Maybe. Mayhew said. But for us right now, I love the right now, because that lets you know you can't argue me. Don't talk about yesterday. Don't talk about tomorrow. Right now. Don't talk about a year ago. Don't talk about when he won the MVP. Don't talk about the future. Right now, we're moving forward with Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. Man, it's dark out there for you, Lamar Jackson. It's dark. Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett, y'all already know. Do what you want in the comments with that. Now, let's talk about the Colts. Interesting. Jim Irsay, you know he's a rebel. However, he is a rebel that was just redeemed of late because he started calling out the Washington Commanders and Dan Snyder. But you remember all his issues and the drug addiction and all the problems that the owners had with him. Does he really want to go back to that place of being a pariah in the ownership group meetings? Or is he going to take this newfound space that, yeah, I attacked Dan Snyder. So, damn it, y'all love me. But this is what they have on their roster. Gardner Minshew, if they're going to get a Minshew mania, maybe. But Gardner Minshew and Pastor Nick Foles. Come on, y'all. That ain't going to get it either. So, there's an opportunity for him with the Colts. But are you going to go do that? And obviously, the one that is really there for him is right under his nose. Stay with the Ravens. Now, you could have played this situation a little different. And instead of having the non-exclusive tag, franchise tag you could have had, you could have had the exclusive one. The exclusive one. That's that big boy, right? But still, non-exclusive tag, you could play that, get tagged. Mess around, you pull a Kirk Cousins. You stay with the Ravens and pull a Kirk Cousins. Why is that important? Because Kirk Cousins, for a four-year span, made the most money of all players in the NFL. That includes when Patrick Mahomes signed for $500 million. That includes when Dak Prescott signed that mega deal for $160 million. Kirk Cousins made the most. So if you franchise tag it, and go out there and play and ball out, yo, there is money at the end. There is a pot of gold at the end of that tunnel. However, there is a lot of risk involved as well because of the injuries. And you've been hurt 5 games last year, 5 games the year before. If that trend continues, obviously you can't get that Kirk Cousin type of money. But he's going to get paid regardless, y'all. I know this is a story that in the moment, it just seems so dire and it's up and down, roller coaster. But being real, a franchise level quarterback never hits free agency. The last time we saw it was Kirk Cousins. And when they hit it, you're like, what? Oh my God, under 30? Lamar Jackson could be 28 years old looking for an unrestricted free agent contract. That's mega bucks. That might be $300 million, especially after we see Herbert get paid and we obviously see what happens with Joe Burrow, et cetera. So it's just funny that I love the hot potato of this conversation. I love the fact that there's nepotism in this NFL, the meritocracy of sports. Man, stop. Nepotism, we saw it with Belichick and his son, Steve Belichick. There's cronyism in NFL in terms of appointing people to power that don't really have those credentials. We see it all the time. And there's also networking or working the net. Meek Mill just texting the owner, say, hey, yo, think about my boy. What's up? And the owner actually letting that leave his mouth. All of that says that Lamar Jackson's going to have a landing spot. It's going to be sweet, but it may not be exactly where he desires or when he desires. About to talk about that money, that dinero, that dough. That Shaq lent Ty Lue, coach of my Clips, $20,000 during the lockout in 1998. Yeah, he said this on the Pivot podcast. Shout out to all them dudes over there, especially my boy Fred Taylor, former teammate, Tangy Tang Tang. Got love for him over there. All right, this is the quote. So Ty Lue is talking about Shaquille O'Neal taking everybody under his wing, having such a big heart. But he goes to Shaq's house one day and he says, quote, we go to Shaq's house and the next day he gives me $20,000 cash. He's like, I know you ain't got no money. I know it's a lockout. Take care of yourself. That kind of helped me out. Shaq just made me feel welcome right away. Lue shared this in his appearance when he was on the Pivot. Wow. And that just made my mind start racing because I know these experiences. And a lot of times fans don't get to go behind the curtain in terms of how do you guys get paid? Why do athletes go broke, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we got a little time. Let's talk through it. Well, NBA is different than football in terms of our payments, obviously. In football, you get paid during the season. That's it. All right. So what used to happen in football is something like this in terms of guys needing that bridge loan. Why? Football season is in August. It starts, right? You start getting your checks in August. Training camp, that's a small check in comparison to your salary. Very small check. I don't know where the numbers are now, but back in those days, we were getting paid like maybe $1,000 a day. Trust me, I know. People at home like, what? And I'm talking about to the NFL player. That's not comps. So the guys are like, all right, that's a little money. But then you get into the preseason games, it was like $2,500 for a game, right? Still, you're talking about guys who are making millions and millions of dollars. And some of them making it for a week. So getting $1,000 is not necessarily going to keep the bills paid. So from there, you get paid. August, September, you get the bump to the regular season. Bam! And here come the checks. Here come the checks. They're coming in, right? Every single week, 17 weeks. Go to the playoffs, up to 20 weeks. Got your money coming, right? And then, no matter who you are, I don't care if you won a championship or not, February is over. Now, you got from February, March, April, May, June, July, and then August again to get another check. How are you budgeting this? Now, every single year I was in the league, there were around plus or minus five guys who needed these bridge loans, who needed to just get through to the next check. And I'm being real. Now, y'all can say, man, that's just some frivolous spending. Nah, I'm going to tell you straight up. It's not just bad spending. It's not just big spending. It's people with big hearts as well. We know it takes a village to raise a child, right? But the problem with a lot of athletes is when they make it, they try to repay that village or they try to bring that village along with them for the ride. And that's not how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to get the golden goose so fat and fluffy. That means stack those chips. Get that money. Keep it. Keep it. Keep it. Golden goose this big? And that's what the golden goose can do now. Lay golden eggs. All right? Get the principal big. Then all of a sudden lay the interest. Now, I saw this firsthand with my two best friends that I graduated with that both became Wall Street executives. They went on the path of the hockey stick graph, right? So it's like this. They're making little money, little money. Oh, my God. Look at these Wall Street execs, right? Meanwhile, I hit it like this. Woo, helicopter ride, straight up. And those guys, when they finally are in their 30s, have been accustomed to a lifestyle that they were making this little money. In their 20s, when they were going to be a little loose with the money, when they were trying to figure it out, find out, and hanging out a ton, they had this much to work with. So they learned to work with it, right? But meanwhile, an athlete has got this much to work with, and they don't know how to work with it all because in part they think they have so much that they can give you some, mama this, gets a car, gets a house, daddy this, gets a car, gets a house, sister gets a house, auntie gets some money. And then next thing you know, this has turned into this, but keeping up with the Joneses and your lifestyle, your monthly nut is actually still there. So it's not just big spending, furs, jewelry, cars. For you, it's big hearts that are actually trying to take the whole village on this ride, because as soon as they make it, they all put on that hat and they start promising things that they haven't necessarily acquired in full. And then you know they Uncle Sam coming through the door and he wants it all. So I just looked at this story like, wow, even a guy who's been in the league, a first rounder, doesn't matter, man. The budget and the numbers don't care about your story. And so many athletes walk into it and it's hard. It pulls on you because you got all this money compared to everyone else in your family, right? And you're like, I can't leave them there. I can't leave them down there. I got to bring them up. But it's a time and place to do that. And the time and place is a long time after you get drafted. First, you got to get it going. and then you can start lending it out. So I've seen a lot of guys have to go through this same scenario, this same situation. And it's sad because, you know, the guy is actually trying to figure this out. The guy is not doing all bad things. And some guys do figure it out. Trust me. The one that he is actually asking for the money, he figured it out. He knows how to do it. He knows how to make it through that offseason. No pity parties for any of these guys, because we do have resources. We do have proper resources that can help us figure this situation out. But a lot of times, guys get poached. Guys get poked on. Guys look at their situations and try to bring everybody up. It's hard to bring that entire village floor up, and a lot of guys suffer from it. Time to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Brian Gutekunst, what is going on? Man, it seems like every single offseason we got an Aaron Rodgers story that is just not neat. It's not clean. It's not convenient. And my grandma used to always say, the truth is simple and lies are complex. And boy, here's another complex story surrounding Aaron Rodgers. All right, the Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst, disputes Aaron Rodgers' claims. He says talks with Rodgers, quote, never transpired this offseason. Never transpired. Really? And when Aaron Rodgers announced his intention to play for the Jets, franchise legend said the Packers have been shopping him behind his back. Never hesitate to put him, and that he wished the team had more direct communication. Now, yesterday, the GM came out and said calmly, but forcefully, let me just push back on that assertion that we couldn't reach him. Let me tell you why we couldn't reach him. He's like, after multiple attempts and trying to get in contact with Aaron Rodgers, quote, I think at that point I had to do my job. Messy situation. The Packers and Jets are still trying to work out a trade, and he's on record saying he wants that trade done sooner than later. It's a messy situation. We all know that. But how does it get messy? Big business like this, how does it get messy? Well, I got experience with this one. It starts off always with an uneven level of interest. I'm going to say it again. Uneven level of interest. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers and his interest in playing for the Green Bay Packers going forward, a little less or a little more than the Green Bay Packers wanting Aaron Rodgers to play for them going forward. Maybe it's a seesaw effect, right? It's like this, like Aaron Rodgers, I don't really want to play for him. And they're like, we really do, but not at this cost, not at this labor expense that we're paying just to get in touch with you. So it doesn't sound like Aaron Rodgers was readily available, because be real, it's almost like dating. Like, you find time for the girl you're trying to holler at, right? Ain't no busy in the world that's going to keep you from somebody you're trying to talk to, somebody who's trying to reach you that you actually want to talk to, right? You use that line on the ones you don't want to talk to. You're like, oh, I was busy. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I just saw your message, man, a couple of days ago. I'm sorry. Like, you're busy because you're preoccupied with things you're actually interested in. So when you guys can't have direct communication, we all know what's really happening. The Packers, y'all not that interested in Aaron Rodgers? And Aaron Rodgers, you're not that interested in the Packers right now. And y'all gonna go through the song and dance to show that instead of directly saying that. Okay, so we got that going on. You tried to reach me and I wasn't available. I play this trick all the time, and everybody I know is laughing at me when I try and pull it. Like, oh man, I called you, why don't you hit me back? Oh, you called me? I ain't know. I don't check my voicemail. You ain't got to check your voicemail to know somebody called you, don't you? You just look at your phone. It says, call friend that you ain't about to call back. Like, that's what it says on the phone. So I'm tripping like, dog, why at this level, a big business with jobs on the line and millions and billions at stake, would they even go to such petty levels and play petty games? Well, let's talk about it. In big business, one thing that happens is there's a lot of bureaucracy, right? There's a lot of layers. You know, there's an assistant, and then there's an executive assistant too, who's the vice president, who is the executive vice president's subordinate, who has a boss that is now the president, who He has to check in with the CEO, who has to check in with the chairman, who has to check in with the board. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's almost a telephone game. You get on the phone, hey, yo, check this out. Now repeat it. Somebody gonna get on the phone and say, yo, check this out. Somebody's gonna say, check this out. You losing words every single time you get down the line. And that's what happens. I went through this with my Charger situation when I got released. Long story short, I left the building shaking hands. Hey, Marcellus, good job. We understand what you were going through. A lot of double teams, triple teams. Hey, it wasn't on you. We didn't have the same personnel, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm easily available. I live right in the city. I lived in L.A. I was back and forth, easily available. Did I get any phone calls? Why? Let's be real. Behind closed doors, they were working on a plan. And then when they came out from those closed doors, they wanted to execute that plan. So the way that you execute that plan is two ways. One, you don't let the other side know your plan. Or two, you act like you try to get in touch with them, but you really didn't try to get in touch with them. So obviously in that situation, you break ties. I had that situation happen in my last deal with Fox. To some degree, agent was calling, they didn't respond. They would call back the agent, and all of a sudden when he called back, they were like, well, what does he really want? He was like, the same thing we said yesterday. Here are the two worst words you hear in any negotiation. Yeah, but. Those are the two worst words. And Aaron Rodgers is hearing, yeah, but. You know why? Because, yeah, of course you want Aaron Rodgers. Of course Fox wanted me. The thing is, yeah, but. Oh, Marcellus want to do a show where he's talking about transgenders one day, and then the next day he's talking about rappers, and then the next day he's talking about Aaron Rodgers, all in the same show? Really? And I know that that didn't fit their business model, so yeah, but. And how much does he want? He wants more? Yeah, but. And he wants to talk more? Yeah, but. And that's what happens. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, but. Because they got Jordan Love there. And when you have Jordan Love there, it's time to just figure out what it really is. Who is Jordan Love? Versus always chasing Aaron Rodgers and his ever-changing demands. I totally understand that. But when you become a veteran of this game, you get into that place where you want new challenges. And Aaron Rodgers wants a new challenge. And I'm sure he's presented himself with those new challenges time and time again in Green Bay. But now he's looking elsewhere for that new challenge, that breath of fresh air new challenge. Kind of similar. I understand it totally. So it's just simple, y'all. Do not get caught up in this back and forth. If they were really interested in each other, mutually interested in each other, oh, there'd be no issue at all. Because just like y'all, if she's saying, yeah, let's go out tomorrow, and you want to go out with her tomorrow, guess what you're doing tomorrow? Y'all hanging out. So that's all this is. This situation is just crazy. I'm gonna keep following it, but I'm just laughing how they playing these real petty dating child games with all this at stake, especially when you know Aaron Rodgers is one of the greats. All right, every show we end it with what? A Wiley-ism. It's time to go there now. Oh man, I can't get this song right. Y'all gotta help me in the comments with this song. All right, let's do this. Quote, don't double down on dumb. Don't double down on dumb. Oh, first I gotta get this Run DMC out of my head. Dumb, 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 dumb. All right, don't double down on dumb. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. Raise my hand higher than yours because I make a ton of them. The goal is to not make the same mistake again, right? That's the goal. And even when you do, you understand that that is really bad. Why? Because the consequences are exponentially greater, right? You mess up the first time, even with your kids. They mess up and you do something. I told you to put that down. All right. He puts it down. He does it again. Didn't I tell you to put it down? Yo, we just went from 0 to 100 real quick. That's how it works in the real world as well. So don't make the same mistake again. Tap out, switch lanes. Your problems should be more diverse than just the same one, right? Like your problems almost should be like your investment portfolio. It needs to be diverse problems. Like, you don't want to be, yo, he keep messing up this exact same way all the damn time. Spray them around, right? Don't double down on dumb, especially when the ego gets involved, because a lot of times you double down on dumb because you got stuck. Who hasn't? Who hasn't gotten into an argument? Who hasn't been that person just like, oh man, I'm messed up. But now I can't look wrong. I got to sound right. And then you just start trying to find words to connect some type of logic to the dumb shit you talking about right there in that moment, right? And it doesn't add up. And that is officially somebody who is doubling down on dumb. So let's catch ourselves. We usually call it the ego, pride, whatever it may be. All y'all, let's work together on this one. Don't double down on dumb. All right, that's going to do it for More To It. Check the show notes for all the information on our topics today. Today! You want to keep the conversation going? I know you do. Let's talk. Find me on all socials at Marcellus Wiley. That's right. More To It is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, That Dude Entertainment, and Workhouse Media. Show is executive produced by Dan Patrick, Marcellus Wiley. That's me, that dude. What's up? Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella. Ah, Marcellus Wiley. Thanks for listening. Thanks for those reviews. Keep them coming, man. I read every single one of them reviews. All, what I got? 182 of them. Something crazy. I love y'all, man. There's more coming from More To It. Talk to you hella soon. Go.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.